March.
That's embarrassing.
Our roll call has, Laura Bilski is excused. She's, I believe she's had her surgery and she's recovering. So she should be back with us shortly. We have both our youth and governance here. So then we're all here. And Mr. Grady's here gracing us this evening too.
Again.
No, everything is running so smoothly, according to Ray, I really have nothing. And the weather, Clement skies are happy, and so I have nothing. If any other supervisors have any comments, we'll get started. I'll do that.
Okay.
I'm also going to ask for citizens' comments.
You got to sit over here.
I've been married 3 times.
You must start telling me what to do.
Rule of the minutes of our past meetings, if everyone has had a copy of time to look over, if we could have a motion.
Motion approved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Juhas, second by Supervisor Skliski. All those in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Citizens' comments would be next. Anyone that wishes to address the committee on any matter pertaining to public works. We have 5 minutes, and all we ask is that you give us your name and address. Any citizens' comments?
I guess I could start.
Yeah.
Barry Thomas, 1312 93rd Avenue, Kenosha. And president of the Pringle Nature Center, as you probably know. I have a proclamation I would like to read. It says, this is to certify that Dennis Elverman has been awarded an honorary lifetime membership to Pringle Nature Center. In grateful recognition of his years of service to Kenosha County and the parks therein. The Pringle Nature Center Board of Directors thanks him for his contributions to the mission of putting people in touch with nature. And you've been a good friend of ours, and we're sorry to see you retire, and we hope you will use this membership to come by and visit us.
I certainly will. Thank you so much.
If you come by for the fall festival, you can get up on the ropes.
I always come, but I won't do the ropes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
My wife's going to be happy.
That's for the whole family, so.
See, I'll tell you a short story. Now I do have something to say. My wife hates sloppy joes. Hates it if she can smell it in the house. So when I come to the fall festival, I'm always kind of giggling, headed for those sloppy joes. There's open air.
Those are made by Julie Pringle, and there's nobody else that makes them like she does.
I have it, like 2 or 3 of them. Thank you, sir. Well, that's wonderful. We'll begin with Frank, facilities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Start with the Anderson Art Center Preservation Project. The HVAC system commissioning was completed on February 18th. We've got the HVAC training forthcoming. The landscaping will be completed in the springtime. And we had the grand opening on February 22nd, and it seemed to go very well. No questions about the ceremonial courtroom. Again, the architect will compile a report on the scope and estimated cost of restoration. Kenosha County architects are exploring sources of public and private grant funding. The investigative benchmarking phase started on time, on schedule, on February 17th. As a side note, the Kenosha News heard that we were doing this investigative benchmarking, and they asked to do an article, and they came in, took some pictures, so they say probably in about the next week or so, the article will appear in the paper.
And we kind of tried to work the article, so
so that we can get as much word out about what the project's about. It seemed that the reporter, although she's Deneen Smith, she's, I think, one of the more thorough Kenosha News reporters, and she has kind of an interest in this, is how she picked up on it. She called Frank, and so we didn't really work her, but we kind of also, we tried to pump this up so we can get the word out, and made her aware of specifically of what we're trying to do for grant funding and both public and private institutions. And we're going to try to use this as good PR, because they spent a decent amount of time with Frank, took a bunch of pictures. So we're hoping the article is in this weekend's paper, where it can get at least the most airtime, so to speak. So
you guys can say that you didn't, but I did work her.
Okay.
So I referred her to you.
I know. And she liked Frank a lot.
Really?
So, yeah, she said you were a lot. She said so many good things. So, and she was really hot to get in there, and she was going to see if you would take her through. Did you take her through?
Yes, absolutely we did. As a matter of fact, she is, she actually read the book when they opened up the ceremonial courtroom. She knows the history of the courthouse. She knows how the same mirror image courtroom on the other side was destroyed, you know, to make the two courts when they needed to add it. She knew all that already. She even knew the artist that did the murals.
Really?
Yes.
She says she spends a lot of time in the courthouse.
Yes. Yeah, for her articles and everything. But she was very nice.
Wonderful.
No other questions. We'll go on to the Joint Services Evidence Area renovation. Again, we're assisting Joint Services with the design of the Evidence Area renovation project. Construction started on schedule on January 16th. We're on schedule. We're looking good with that project. Substantial completion scheduled for August. No other questions. We'll go on to the District Attorney Juvenile Intake move and remodel. Again, we're working with the district attorney and juvenile intake and creating the project drawings and specs. We want to get the bids. The bids are scheduled to go out on the street and released in March, and we're shooting for substantial completion in August, September time. That's it.
Any questions for Frank?
Just in the ceremonial courtroom, you know, as it stays, just a ceremonial place, or it has been in the past, you know, you can see how Kenosha County is growing. They add additional branches every so often. Has it been ever thought that if this were to be done, that it may be a regularly used branch of the corridor that's not been talked about, or is there any thoughts on that matter?
We call it the ceremonial courtroom. It's kind of shorthand. It's actually Judge Schrader's courtroom.
Oh, currently, yes, it is.
It has been his courtroom for 20...
Probably at least 20 years, yeah.
He had some knowledge in remembering, because before that he was a district attorney, I think, and he kind of remembered when they did the work up there. So it's in regular use all the time. It's just that anytime there's a swearing in or anything, because it's the grand architectural courtroom, so everyone calls it the ceremonial courtroom.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So he had to agree to move out here for a couple of weeks while we're doing this studying.
And just a side note, Judge Schrader has been fantastic to work with through this whole process. He is moving out into a much smaller courtroom, anything. Whatever we've needed, whenever we've had to do surveys with architects or bring people in from out of town, he's been fabulous to work with.
Well, you're building some nice bridges there, Frank.
You never know. He has been fantastic to work with.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I just also wanted to express on the subject of the ceremonial courtroom that I participate in mock trial, which is something done through the state bar, and we recently had the Kenosha Regional, and it was held at the Kenosha County Courthouse, and we actually had the awards presentation ceremony at the end of the competition in the ceremonial courtroom, and I heard a lot of people who said they really liked it and thought it was really interesting and fun to have. And additionally, I used it for my Eagle Scout ceremony in December. And so I think it's, as well as being something that's used every day, it can also be used to outreach into the community and help open up the court system to everybody.
Excellent point.
I'd just like to say, my wife and I were at that event last week, Anderson Arts Center opening event, and it really looks nice. Yeah, it really looks nice. The windows, the ceiling, or the everything. I'm talking about geothermal heating and, the addition in the back where the bathroom is. It really looks nice, so well done. Yeah.
And that, just to clarify, when we were challenged by the county exec to put handicap bathrooms in there. We were looking at the existing building, the existing bathrooms, and you end up destroying the integrity of the building or the architecture of the building trying to do that. And that's kind of what led me to the garage and mm-hmm. and found out that we could, what they had stored in there, we took about 80% of the garage. We left them enough storage for just what they needed for events there. Mm-hmm. But so really, from the outside, we haven't changed a thing architecturally. So it really was a good fit. We utilized space that was not being utilized correctly and made the handicap accessibility. So it worked out well.
Plus it seems like you have an easy access from outside for those summer events, those musical events, where people can walk in and have access to the bathroom much more.
That was another thing that the county exec challenged us to do. So we have handicap access to the summer events outside and also into Anderson Arts Center.
Right.
It should make it much more marketable for them as a wedding venue or event venue, too.
Right.
Because now they don't have the porta, unless it's a really large event, they shouldn't do the porta potties there.
Yeah.
So much nicer.
And Ray touched on something important. A lot of people really like the venue, right on the lake, tent and everything, but as soon as, for weddings or all kinds of stuff, as soon as they heard they had to use porta-johns, they just said no. So this should greatly help them be with their business and be self-sustaining.
Yeah. Thank you, Frank. Anything else for Frank? We will move on to highways. Clement.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just like the chairman earlier said, we had a mild weather in February with a few snow events. The crew took advantage of the mild weather to carry out a lot of routine maintenance, which includes crack sealing, brushing, shouldering, pavement patching, and trash pickup. There's also, I didn't elaborate in the report, but there is also a culvert repair project that's going on. And after I saw what was going on, I realized that it's a big project. I should have elaborated a little bit here. But anyway, there are like seven major projects, very deep projects that are going all over the county. They've completed about two of them, one on B, and just by the north end of the project, close to Racine, and the other one is on EM, very close to the lake. Those two have been completed, and except for restoration, which will be done when the weather breaks for the summer. So those are the general things that we do for what we did for general maintenance in February. And county project, the County Trunk Highway W embankment stabilization projects, as a bit were open on February 13th, and Viet Company was the apparent low bidder. This is the same company that did the sheet pile walls for the south, still on W.
That'd be sheet pile.
Yeah. Well. So,
yeah.
So, well, I hope The Pyle, I just said
Pyle. Yeah, Pyle.
So Pyle Foundation. So, well, we had pre-construction meeting on the on February 25th, and the contractor is planning to start construction by the 9th. They couldn't start this week because they have a scheduled safety training for their staff, so they'll be starting next week on Monday. Yes.
Is there an estimated time of completion?
Oh, yes. We gave them to, they're supposed to be completed by, I think, April 1st.
Okay.
Or I would just say first week of April.
Yeah.
That's the construction.
I don't know. Things could change based on what.
Correct. County Trunk Highway C trail project. The construction started on February 11th. Clearing and grubbing is completed. The installation of the piles, footings are completed. What they're doing right now, they're doing what they call bracing of the tiles, putting some bracing and welding them or bolting them by the piles to make them sturdy. Hopefully, by the end of the week, it will be ready for the boardwalk, for them to start installing the boardwalk on the foundation piles. The project is on schedule, and still we're hoping that the project will be completed by mid-July.
I do have a question.
Sure.
So will the road remain closed until the construction is finished, completed, or is there a time where the road will open up to through traffic? Because you're not actually working on a road, you might be working on something off the road. Yeah.
Technically speaking, the road is closed because of the crane. The crane takes majority of the road, and so we are hoping that it was scheduled to be closed for 8 weeks.
Okay.
But then again, depending on how construction goes, if something delays it, then it might be much longer, but we are planning for 8 weeks, which will be
looking at
by the end of the month, it should be done.
Yeah, maybe a little bit later, depending on how work goes, but okay.
Right. Brookside parking lot, county crews took advantage of the mild weather in February to carry out preliminary work that includes clearing, grubbing, and the removal of trees. The tree removals have been completed except for one stump, which will be ground. They're planning to do the grinding tomorrow. Hopefully, if everything works out, by the end of the week, it should be ready for construction to start by early April. County Trunk Highway S project. The DOT opened bids on February 11th. The summary of the bid is listed below, and Michael Corporation was the apparent low bidder. I was just informed, I think early this morning, verbally, that the project has already been awarded, but we are still waiting for official documents to that effect. So, so right-of-way acquisition is complete. However, the county legal team is still working to ensure all buildings will be vacated no later than June 15 for major construction work to start. Demolition is complete for all acquired and vacant buildings. Following the award of the contract, a pre-construction meeting will be held. We don't still have the exact time, but it will be held very soon because construction will definitely be starting in April. So we're hoping that we'll have a pre-construction meeting probably by the end of this month. As soon as I get that information, I'll share it with the committee.
I wanted to add just a little something on the legal side of this, because we've got all the properties acquired. We technically own all the properties in phase one as of February 10th or 11th.
February 10th.
We own it, but the major one, Iggy Ricky's, we do expect that to still be complex. They've got 90 days, I believe, to vacate, which the indications we have at this point is that if I were a betting man, it's probably less than a 50-50 chance that they're going to actually vacate willingly. There probably will be a formal eviction process. And I'm only making the committee aware of that because although we do everything to avoid that kind of situation, based on the legal representation that they've had in this process, it's like I say, I think it's less than 50-50 that we're going to be able to get things resolved without some kind of formal action taking place. But we'll see. You know, hopefully we'll be pleasantly surprised. I just want the committee to be aware of that.
Phase Country Trunk Highway as Phase 2. Right-of-way acquisition is also complete. However, just like Ray was explaining, there's some three properties that we still have some legal challenges. The last two properties were acquired in February 11, though there are still some post-acquisition legal challenges. County legal representatives are working through it. Demolition of acquired buildings is behind schedule due to the right-of-way acquisition challenges. We are expecting a formal notification regarding our grant request for the DOT multimodal funds sometime in early March. We will wait for that notification before advertising the project for bid. We are still targeting the summer to start construction. County Trunk Highway F, right-of-way acquisition and demolitions of all acquired buildings are complete. Ongoing utility relocations are scheduled to be completed by March ending. The project is set to be advertised on March 10th with bid opening scheduled for April 14th. We provided project updates to the town of Randall and the village of Twin Lakes in February, and they are each planning to formally address the IGA with their respective boards in March, to March ending April. Both municipalities will need to adopt the IGA prior to it being brought to the county board for consideration.
I have a question. Mark? Do those IGAs go through any other committee then?
They'll come here and it'll go to finance and then go to
finance.
The board.
Okay,
yep.
Thank you.
County Trunk Highway K project. The design is complete. However, the design team continues to work with FEMA to review and approve the floodplain outline that was caused by the new floodplain island that was caused by the relocation of the Pike Creek. The design team successfully rectified issues with the right-of-way plat, and the right-of-way acquisition is in progress to be completed by ending of June. We are optimistic that this project will be awarded the DOT Surface Transportation Program funding because the county and the city jointly agreed to support using the funding for this project or for the County Trunk Highway K project. The city and the county are still continuing their discussion on stormwater and utilities perspectives.
So that was kind of a big deal this last month. Clement and I both spent a significant amount of time working with the city to basically these STP funds. The way it works is the county is the, as Highway Commissioner Clement has the authority, all the money gets funneled through the county through him. And if there's only county projects that have been applied for, well, it's pretty straightforward. Then we're the ones that get the money. But if municipalities within the county are allocated funds to be used as well. And in this case, the city applied to use, $4 million, $4 plus million to resurface 39th Avenue between 60th Street and 158, which is in sorely need of resurfacing, as our many roads in the city, but we basically worked with them for them to kind of more or less pull that off the table so that the Highway K project from the East Railroad tracks, the UP Railroad, all the way to 94th Court, that could be 80% funded then with these STP funds. And then the city's still going to fund their portion, which is the portion between the tracks. This is an IGA that was maybe 6 or 8 years ago it was signed by both the city and the county. So bottom line is this is now going to at least provide the funding that will be largely state and federal dollars to take care of that section of 60th Street, which otherwise probably wouldn't happen for Lord knows when, because we didn't have a significant amount of money budget because we got so much money going into S and some of the other road projects, and the city didn't either. So this looks like this, based on his conversations with the DOT coordinator for this program, now that we've worked this out with the city, there's a good chance that this is going to happen, and 60th Street, which is really going to be needed because the city is still planning the old AMC marshalling yards. They have supposedly three folks that are moving into that. Old Dominion, this is public knowledge, Old Dominion, DHL, and I can't remember the third one, but that marshalling yard is going to be completely built out with commercial enterprises. So this section of that road really needs to get done. So that was a good development.
And one aspect, the traffic on that section of County Town Highway K has almost doubled in the last 5 years based on the data that we have. For 2014 data, it's like, I think about, say, 8,000 or 6,000. And the data that we collected a few months ago is almost 12,000. So the traffic has significantly increased. On Foxconn and DOT related, I just left these ones here just in case something changes, and then I could bring it up. But the project stays the same. The paving on this section is already completed, and the road is open for traffic. While they're still doing some landscaping and some utility works are going on, and I think also they still have to put in the multi-use trail. And on the section between County Trunk Highway H and 31, the design team is fine-tuning the design, and everything seems to be going on right now according to schedule. Right-of-way acquisition is in progress and on schedule as well, and so everything is set for the construction to start in the fall of 2020. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Clement. Anything else for Clement? Any questions?
I have a quick question. On one of the, I guess it'd be on the eastern end of the whole complex, there's a, and I don't know if it's going to be just a construction entrance and exit. It's just a little bit to the west of H. Okay, it's the first one. Mm-hmm. But it's right across the street is constituent's house, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know who controls the position or placement of those gated? And I don't know because it's so early in the whole project. I'm not sure it's permanent or just a construction entrance and exit. Because I know we don't. Yeah, obviously, it's on the Racine side. But all those lights, let's say that it becomes permanent from the trucks constantly coming in. It's a real.
I don't know the exact location, but actually the. Those driveways location are actually based on the orientation of the development, because you have to place the driveway such that the traffic flow within the complex makes sense. Otherwise, it's going to be a lot of problem traveling to navigate through.
Can you picture that one? Because there's one I know that's a permanent one that's paved and that's a major access. But
I'm guessing that both of them are permanent because they didn't want to do it twice.
It's a very, it's very first.
The first one from
along
H.
KR to the west of H, right? And that's exactly where that exit. They put the exit right.
I just didn't know
whom, if anybody, we can, because there's not much we can do about it. It's on the scene side, and it's really the complex. But I would think that they might. Take into consideration these guys.
We work very closely with our Racine counterparts. Whatever we do as far as KR is concerned, we typically collaborate. We try to make sure that we get the best out of it for both.
That's the only home right there. You could have moved it over, 25 yards, 50 yards, and it wouldn't have been a big deal. And so maybe it's temporary, maybe it's just construction. I don't know. That particular constituent had asked about it, and I just didn't know since you brought it up here, because I happened to go down to KR. That's quite the construction project there.
And they got Wisconsin Valley.
I don't think it's, I think the interstate's narrower than that road right now.
It's It's a pretty healthy size.
Yeah.
Anything else for Clement?
No, thank you.
Have a good morning.
All right, thank you, Clement. We'll move on to Matt Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So there's two resolutions in front of you. We'll go one by one, but just as I've been speaking about our process through the state DNR, we need to have both committees as well as the county board approve us applying for a grant. So this is, both of these resolutions are for us to apply to the DNR. The first one in front of you is for Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park. We did the same exact resolution and grant last year. Unfortunately, we did not win, or we were not awarded this grant because it was a multi-jurisdictional grant award, so it was very competitive to get more communities involved. But we did rank really well with both of these requests within this park. So that's for expansion of our multi-use trail network, as well as access right off of the newly constructed or future newly constructed County Highway F that runs pretty close to the entranceway from the park. So as you can see, the estimate as of right now is a little bit over $1 million. And with all these projects, the county would be on the hook for half, which is $507,000 and some change. So this evening, we are just asking for your approval to apply for this grant.
So if I understood you right, there's none of this money is being spent this year because you didn't get the grant.
Correct. This will be for construction anticipated in 2021.
So when the budget was originated for this year back in 2019, you knew that we didn't have the grant then,
correct.
So it wasn't put in, none of this cost was put into this year's budget.
Intentionally, we did not want to bond for it,
right.
We knew we did not.
Because I know in some other projects, not particularly this one, where it says, well, we'll do this if we get the grant, but if we don't get the grant, it's not going to get done, correct? It won't get spent.
Correct.
So this is the same thing that, so in 2021, if we don't get this grant,
we won't be seeing it
in a budget. Okay, thank you.
However, there will be a need to have an entrance into the park off of the new highway.
Sure.
No matter what.
And some of that was talked about, that was a back entrance off of, like, where Pond would cross over, right?
Yeah, so there is, it's planned to still have an apron off of, as part of the F project.
Yeah.
But that's the extent of it.
So, but that's not the actual entrance that you're
right
to get. Okay.
Yeah, it's just kind of an apron that sets the table for it to be constructed.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So that's the approval of this one. I don't know if anyone has any other questions.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Juhas. Do we have a second?
Second.
Supervisor Zelisky. Any discussion? If not, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Excellent. Approved.
So the next resolution is pertaining to all the grants that we're currently applying for with Pipe River Restoration Phase 2. So as we brought forth with the committee, this is our big push time for a majority of these grants. This one through the DNR, again, needs county board approval to apply for it. It's a $150,000 grant, and then $75,000 would be on Kenosha County. And through the other resolutions, we already have that money approved through the parkland development. So we already have that accounted for. So again, just to apply for this grant for additional funding for Pike River Phase 2.
Motion to approve. Second.
Moved by Supervisor Zelisky, seconded by Supervisor Nordegan. Any other discussion? If not, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. That carries.
And then as far as the division report, I'll also pass out our annual activity guide for the committee and supervisors. We do have plenty of these available, so if you or your constituents would like any, we can drop them off next committee meeting after this meeting. More than happy to distribute those. Me personally, of course, I'm biased towards this, but it's our best activity guide to date. with that, this is completely done by our interns. I think that's notable to say that county, we don't have a graphic designer for all of Kenosha County, so it's truly remarkable what we're able to have, not only from our end, but given the experience to these graphic designers that they can put on their resumes is something that I think is notable as well. Some people have interns that are doing paper pushing. This is something that they can really be proud of. So again, it's a comprehensive guide, map system, all of our special events are on there. So hopefully you guys can enjoy those.
Are you saying your interns aren't required to push any paper?
No.
I find that hard to believe. I think you put a lot of paper on it.
We're trying to go digital. As far as Kemper Center, a couple updates. With the storm damage after the January 11th storm, we were able to work with both FEMA and on the state level through their emergency management office to receive that preliminary damage assessment of $2.1 million. That by far was the most within Kenosha County claimed, which put us over that threshold and to be part of the three-county disaster proclamation from Governor Evers. So now that Governor Evers did have enough within those three counties, including Kenosha County, that letter went to President Trump's office, and we're waiting for the president to sign and authorize public assistance through FEMA. And that's the next step for us to work directly with FEMA, not only with that $2.1 million threshold, that's our base, but now we can start to look at what's considered mitigation to see if we can start to actually not only put things back how they originally were before it was damaged, but make those necessary improvements. And FEMA does have those angles where we can start working directly with them. But as of right now, we have to wait for that for the president to sign off on that, because if he doesn't, we don't get anything included in that $2.1 million.
But the actual mitigation or long-term fix on this is nowhere near being planned or know what we have to do. I mean, we're probably excess of $15 million just our portion of it, is it not?
We know exactly what needs to be done through the engineering plan.
Okay, so we did have all that at least.
Yes.
I know it had happened a couple of years ago, so it probably went started, but I didn't know if we had a...
It was perfect timing that we just finished that up this last year, and we're actually going after permits right now.
Right.
With our engineering firm, so it's in front of the Army Corps of Army Corps of Engineers to review and comment back on. So it's perfect timing that even this started in 2015 with us having the foresight to go through this plan. So having that in the back of our pockets, working with FEMA, they're able to utilize those types of documents to help tell our story of what really needs to happen and for the reason why it needs to happen. For instance, why we can't put just industrial rubble back in there because it's not going to withstand.
Right.
So we don't want to call FEMA the following year or the following month.
Right.
So we have enough of those standardizations and protocols. So hopefully that 2.1 is just to put it back pre-storm condition. We're going to be asking them if we get the opportunity to make those enhancements as needed. And that, again, just to be clear, is a $14, $15 million adventure to do it right.
I had several long discussions with Mayor Antoranian, and he is saying that they're, although they have the damage as well, but their shoreline is built differently than ours and didn't suffer the same damage as ours.
Correct.
And I understand the FEMA, we have to bring it back to what it was, but is also the fix going forward is updating the shoreline as well as doing something like a breakwater or something like that out there to protect the shoreline. And do we have to do it in conjunction with our neighbors to the north and to the south? So, you know, or can we just do it on our own?
So there's a couple of questions.
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
So to back up, I really applaud the city and the mayor that, unfortunately, you're right, they weren't able to be very eligible for FEMA funds. I think it was only like $60,000 or $70,000 that they qualified for. But that didn't stop them from knocking on other doors to see what's also available through Army Corps of Engineers, and then they can come and assess those. And right now they're going through the process of trying to work with the governor's office to see if those are any opportunities to work with Army Corps of Engineers, which is completely separate than FEMA in our process.
Right.
We've partnered with the city's intention to work with Army Corps to work in parallel paths. So we're literally leaving no stone unturned to try to offset some of those costs that we talked about. So the city, they by far have way more shoreline than we do, but at the same time, we both have that intent that this needs to happen, and it's just trying to bring as many partners to the table.
Okay. Thank you.
Did I answer all that?
Yes, I did.
So, more to be told.
Yeah.
As far as Kemper Center facility improvements, a couple approved 2020 CIP items just to keep the committee in the loop. We will be moving forward, working on the specs for boiler replacements, and of course we don't want to replace that right now, but that'll be done in the summer of this year. And then also approved in the county budget was the southeastern side of Kemper. We're evaluating for repairs and replacement of windows. There's infiltration happening, especially with those storms that we've seen this year. That northeastern storm really takes a beating on that eastern side. So we have to do necessary repairs to the window treatments as well as tuck pointing to prevent further infiltration damage.
So on the previous improvements that were done to Kemper Center, I'm sure it was, we had to get stuff done to keep it up. We had to get stuff done to get people in and all that. I'm sure there's also an architectural committee that we have to make sure we don't make any changes that would, upset them. But so tuck pointing wasn't one of the things that was done back in the original. It's always get that foundation first and get the bones done before you do the inside.
When you say original, what are you referring to?
Original windows and original, doors, and keeping everything as original as possible, correct?
Right, right.
But so I know there couldn't have been a lot of going on the outside with that because just fixing things. But now, but tuck pointing on it wouldn't that have been done, You don't start at the top of the house, you start at the foundation you build up. And wouldn't that tuck point have been done, or has that all been washed out from previous storms or anything like that?
I don't know that, because like how we look at it is kind of the building exterior shell,
yeah,
which would be roofs. And so we've been picking away at the right roofs, and I mm-hmm don't think we're completely done with Kemper, but we're in pretty...
We're in really good shape. We actually start on our maintenance plan, and they're going to reevaluate the roofs again this year because we have some money left to make sure we stay on top of that maintenance plan and potentially redo the fire.
Didn't we put a lot of infrastructure on the inside, build out rooms to rent out,
Yeah, so that was a small project that Kemper did themselves.
Okay.
About just over $100,000, yeah, to get those rental spaces
prepared.
Right. The Lakefront
Studio.
Yeah, that was... kind of a tiny project, actually, that they did that just to create some space so they could generate some revenue.
Right.
So that part's in place, but there hasn't been any, I think 1995?
So there was no tuck pointing or anything that was done in the past?
No. Yeah.
There's been waves of tuck pointing done.
Let me see.
Okay.
When a Rotary Club raised the $2 million, I'm not sure, it's more than $2 million, when the meeting spaces were built and things, and that was in the 90s.
In the mid-90s, hmm, yeah.
Right, 2000, early 2000s, maybe. Mm-hmm. So that was all money raised by Rotary Club. But there was at least two waves of tuck pointing that I know of. It's been all around the building.
Yeah, because I don't understand how long that lasts. That's what I was wondering. Is it just wearing away?
A building like that is continuous.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so it wasn't from, hey, we put money in other areas and then put it there. It's just now finally getting to the point where it just needs to be done again.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand it. Okay, thank you.
Well, you're going to have to re-tuck point when you redo all the windows.
The windows.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what we plan on doing, because you're just looking at the framework and how tuck point is done. You could keep on going, as we say. So we got to kind of scope this into our budget. But what's beneficial is we were able to find, probably back in the 90s, that Kemper Center was awarded grant funding through the Community Block Grant program. So that's funneled through the city,
mm-hmm,
and the city gets it from the state. And within the city of Kenosha, they're eligible as far as that entity. So we're going to frame this out to get the windows done as a primary and get that buttoned up. And then hopefully we can offset some of these other tuck pointing issues with grants through the Community Block Grant and save the taxpayers on that.
So in that instance, is that similar to what happened then with Anderson when they put the $2.5 million down? It was like a grant through the state of the city, and
yeah, that was a different funding mechanism. I believe the city used TIF funds actually for that portion of it.
Okay, I thought maybe it was just a similar thing. I'm just trying to get my head around it. But okay, thank you.
So more to come once we start to actually get into the specs. We'll see what works best for the facility and what works best for grant funding. So more to come on that project. Moving down to the Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, restroom facility bids did come back on the 20th of February. One point to make with this bid is we received 10 general contractors to bid on that. So that's remarkable. It's great that we're seeing that much interest when it comes to the facility side of bidding out projects. So we're going through the low bidder we're not familiar with, so we have a conference call set for this Friday just to familiarize ourselves to make sure that we're confident and comfortable in their abilities. So we'll be able to make a determination shortly after this Friday. As far as ecological improvements to the park, work will begin restoring an additional 25 acres. As I've been speaking of, we've been doing a lot of prairie enhancements throughout the park. It's good for operations, it's good for the ecological side. And also controlling 5 acres of invasive species, Phragmites, it's 8 feet tall plus plant that we need to control to make sure that that doesn't inundate our prairie areas. So a lot of ecological stuff on the prairie side. And as well as we hired a consultant to work with us on developing plans for the oak savanna, and that's going to be located on the northeast side of the park to better scope that project. Moving on to Old Settlers Park. Old Settlers Oktoberfest, they host an annual event, if anyone's ever been there, very successful. I would say around 8,000 people attend that event each year. They're getting up there. It's always been their main mission to help support a future band shelter within that park. And to kick this thing off, they donated to the county $10,000 in order for us to have design and architectural drawings for that band shelter. So we'll be moving forward with that, and hopefully within the next year, we'll have full design plans for that band shelter. And then speaking of park roof replacements, we are moving forward, as we always do, with roof replacements throughout the entire county. So that includes Silver Lake, Shelter B, a couple park restrooms at Fox River, and then Pets has a restroom facility. So bids were due on the 27th. We only did receive one bid. There was probably, I'm gonna say, at least 5 different contractors in our pre-bid meeting, but only one bid on it. Kyshak Roofing, it's probably the name you guys are becoming familiar with. They've done a lot of our large roofs, like the one overhead here. Maybe they saw that Kyshak was bidding on it. They said they're getting everything. I don't know, but they're the only ones that bid, and they came within budget, even a little bit lower than expected for that one. So we'll be finishing up that award come shortly. As far as Pets Park, one donation to note, Greg and Diane Thompson went and donated $4,000 for a concrete ping pong table over at Pets. So it made just sense to put it next to our beer garden, just because be more people there, and then you can for free distribute paddles and balls, and they have staff that will help manage.
And beer pong.
No beer. I made that a stipulation.
That's a street violation.
You're on a roll tonight, man.
So that'll be, we already purchased it, so it should come in order for the grand opening, I hope. Pike River Trails Restoration Project. Bids were due back on the 28th. Unfortunately, with that one, we only got one bid back with that one, too. The good thing, though, is it looks like it's within project budget and what we have allocated for it. So after we review some referrals and past projects, we'll most likely be moving forward with that one as well. Pringle Nature Center. Barry, you want to read verbatim your reports?
No, I think.
Okay. So at your leisure, you can read the Pringle Nature Center reports attached to this document. South Bike Trail, just another project we have on the plate for 2020 here. We're working with a consultant to develop basically a fairly comprehensive stormwater management plan because of how many neighbors, streets run parallel, perpendicular, to really account for all that water infiltration onto county property with that South Bike Trail. It's a 7.5 mile length, a multi-use trail, so from 85th Street to 128th. So working with that consultant, it's gonna be a lot of work. It's probably gonna be over a 6-month process to work mainly with Pleasant Prairie, some sections of the city of Kenosha, to make sure that we vet agreements, all the different neighborhood agreements, floodplains, wetlands, you name it, culvert sizing conditions. It's going to be very comprehensive, so more to come once we have that plan. We'll be able to vet what we can do internally and what needs to be done as far as future CIPs.
Is there a lot of new home construction going up in that area? Or am I thinking of it? Maybe I'm thinking about 165.
I wouldn't say it's real new. I'd say in the last 25 years.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I must be thinking 165.
In Nordegan years.
That's pretty new. Yeah, that's kind of good. Okay. I know everybody's out there, but I didn't know if it went south that far.
Yeah, I haven't seen this much stuff for development.
It's pretty built out. It's pretty built out.
I just wonder if the developer should be pitching in on it.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
And one thing that's not on the report, event coming up, St. Paddy's Day, 0.1K Beer Garden,
yes,
run walk.
Bucks.
So on the 14th of this month, looking forward to get a good workout.
To the hydration station in the middle.
Right.
Cheese balls and beer.
There you go.
Hey, they're expecting over 500 or 5,000 people this year.
5,000?
5,000 they're expecting, potentially. There was a huge showing last year.
Oh, my God.
Too late for VIP tickets.
And it's for a good cause. I should say it's for the Boys and Girls Club. So all proceeds, profits.
How long is the run? 50 yards?
0.1K. I don't. It's probably
100 meters.
I think it could probably.
And they said that I was listening to them on the radio, and they said that one guy in the first 2 years sprinted. In the first year, it took him 11 seconds, and the second year, it took him 13 seconds. I don't know why it took longer. Asking him how long, you know, what will this last, and they said it starts at 10, so somewhere between 10 o'clock and 13 seconds, and 10:45, we're trying to shoot people out of the hydration station.
There is an award for the slowest
this
year, so people might be taking it.
Yeah, sprint to the hydration station.
And if you want to pass
it. David Gruber is donating surgical masks. I have one of his t-shirts.
Do you?
My wife yells if I put it on. Anything else for Matt? Well, we mentioned the sprinkle. Barry, as long as you're here, Ray and I, when we have our pre-meeting, we discuss everything, and I commented to Ray, and we were in agreement on it. Your new staff member, if it is because of them, I'm not sure, but I haven't seen an organization in Kenosha County that has done such a good job of promotion. Your presence in the Kenosha News, I don't know who you're paying off. the pictures of the last events you had there, all color, and in the Wastosha Report, and every week your calendar of events, and it, other people could learn from how you folks are doing it. I know it's always been good, but it seems like it's really taken a step forward. If you want to pass that along or don't tell her.
Glad to pass that along.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to golf. Dan.
Thank you, sir. We're finalizing our 2020 business plan. It contains a range of initiatives designed to put a framework around our continued success. We have all the leagues signed up for the afternoons at Petrifying Springs, and we still have some availability at Brightondale. We'll have over 420 league members again at Petrifying Springs, so it's really great to have that weekly business, and we're working to sign up new golf outings. We attended the golf show this last weekend in Chicago, and we printed out 4,500 coupons, and I think we gave away at least 4,000 of those, so that was great turnout for us. We'll be going to the Milwaukee Golf Show the 13th through the 15th, and we got 6,000 coupons from Milwaukee, so it's great to see all the interest in our golf season. Great comments from so many people down in Chicago about loving our course, and all the improvements has really been great to see, and we've really brought it a long ways, is what they were saying. So that was all good, and really brings some good recognition, and we did book another outing, at least one more, so we have other interests from the golf show. So we made the decision to begin our staff recruitment early this year. We hired 5 people so far, and we have about 20 new applicants for Wednesday that we're going to be interviewing. So I'm really excited about that, and we need at least 30 people before May 1st, so we'll see how Wednesday goes and what we'll need after that. But the biggest thing is, you know, we hired 7 in January, but 2 already informed us that they took different jobs. So we'll see if we can hang on to them until we meet them at the start of the season. So the indoor golf simulator is up and running, and having some customer participation. We did a demo day club fitting challenge, not this Sunday, but the Sunday before, and we had a good result with that. We sold a good amount of equipment that day, and we're also looking forward to you know, better promotion throughout the course of the year of the simulator, and so we should have you know, real good off season next year with that. So a lot of real positive comments on the graphics of it, the speed of it, and how it operates. So that's great to hear. And we're getting ready to open. You know, when we're driving back from Chicago yesterday, thinking, oh, there's no snow. Maybe this week, but all of a sudden we get here and all the fairways are full of snow yet. So it seemed like you hit 50 and there's a bunch of snow. So we're really targeting, and what I was telling everybody at the golf show was the 13th, and hopefully the weather cooperates, and we'll be setting up a press release, and we'll open up the White Birch first, and then Petrifying Springs. Petrifying Springs, I'm worried about the cart paths. They're just so moist, but our superintendent was out, and he said that there is a layer of frost holding moisture above that, you know, so he's hoping that as soon as that goes, that the water will dry and we'll get some possibilities of getting those paved. So our blue spruce and red pines will open as demand comes, and then the range is always a really later because of the poor drainage that we have there. And then yeah, the cart pass, as I've stated, is a definite concern at Petrifying Springs. We're working with the Highway Division to try and figure out how we can get it open as quickly as possible. You know, it'll probably be walking only until some of the things dry out there, and then without having the cart pass, it'll be a challenging or to get carts out, so we're hoping that we have a dry spring. And then we are refreshing the areas in both clubhouses. We're painting and did a great job on the floors at Petrifying Springs, and now they're over at Brighton Pale, and everything should be clean and neat and ready to go as we get to open. So looking forward to that. And we're ordering all of our supplies, equipment, and merchandise. So I'm excited about our offerings this year for our merchandise. We're also going to be looking for new food beverage items. So hopefully we have increased sales by better selections this year.
Thank you, Dan. If there's no questions, we'll move on to Mike.
I have 3 projects to report on. First one is the chiller replacement for this building. Last week, the system was clean, flushed, and refilled with glycol. No leaks, so that was a real positive thing. That project's on schedule, continues to proceed as expected. The second project is the planning development remodeling project. That one is completed. Third one is the KCDC piping coupling project. That one is a second phase project from a couple years ago. Budgeted $120,000 for it. Basically replaces all the connections joining the pipe seams together that were leaking. put out for bid, and bids are due March 20th. So that one's it.
So on the second go-around with the furniture for planning developing, they weren't all busted up or whatever the problem was the first time?
Well, we don't know if that's true or not, but that was the excuse.
Oh, that was the story. Okay.
It didn't fall off the truck.
Yeah. To be honest.
So actually, that's all done. That's all completed.
It's done.
They're moved in as of early last week. Right. UW Extension, it's much better utilization of the space. And I'm sure it's going to take a while for some of the folks to adjust to some of the new, but it's a much better. Yeah, you'll get a tour when you guys go for your meeting. But yeah, I encourage anybody else to take a look. It's changed. It's pretty subtle, but it works a lot better. It's a much better utilization.
So. We were able to refresh the paint completely.
Yeah, and carpet.
And redo the carpet.
Yeah.
So that was a big plus outside of the project. Mm-hmm. We're happy with it at least.
Good deal.
Yep.
No questions, we'll move on. Ready to wrap it up.
Yeah, just a couple things. As you heard tonight, you know, the mild weather has helped us out on a number of projects outside. And hopefully, Dan, we will be able, you know, this will continue and we will be able to get an early jump on getting things paved out there. The simulcast project, we made some big progress in the month of February. Last Tuesday, I was up at Madison at Baycom Motorola to see, it's kind of what I'd call like a laboratory runoff of the actual simulcast equipment. So basically what they had set up was all of the racks containing the actual equipment that's going to be installed at our four sites. The new Silver Lake Tower site, this site here, the 60th Street site, and the PSB vicinity site, the new one going downtown. They had basically all the equipment in the racks, and then we had a couple of the chiefs from, the Summers Fire Chief was there, and the Salem Lakes Summer Chief Fire Chief was there, and representative from the Sheriff's Department, so the three kind of countywide agencies, two countywide agencies. They brought actual radios up to test their actual radios, because not all of them are Motorola. There's an array of radios. And they tested everything, and we unplugged things and created conditions where you break the system, and then to ensure that redundancy works the way it's supposed to and stuff. And everything worked the way it was supposed to. Now, you're in a lab, so you know there's none of the real-world stuff, but basically it sets the benchmark for all that equipment doing what it was engineered and designed to do. So it was good. It was very valuable, and we also uncovered a couple of concerns that the fire chiefs raised that we needed to double check on, and it was good. We spent some extra time, and the four issues that came up weren't like deal breaker type issues, but there were just things we could do to enhance the system. We've got solutions developed for all four of those after we met after the demonstration. So a real good meeting. In addition to that, the demo bids came back for the taking down all of the properties, including the daycare, and it looks like we're going to be able to. We still have to vet some things out with the one low bidder actually came in. Like, there was, again, a good turnout. There was seven bids, I believe, total, and four of them were like 148 grand plus or minus $2,000, so that was definitely the sweet spot. The low bidder was $99,000, and so we're thinking, and it's someone from outside the area that we haven't worked with. So Matt Fleming, the purchasing director, is kind of drilling into that to see. We're guessing that's not going to be a legitimate bid. But in any event, I had estimated them to be $175,000, so we're under that. We should be able to get someone on board to do that, and we're targeting. We gave them all May 15th to have all the buildings demoed and restoration work complete. And they were all able, they said they'd be able to do that. So that's in play. I've been talking with the city almost daily now to get through the rezoning process and conditional use permit process. That'll probably take us into May, maybe even June, just getting through those hoops. But that still should dovetail with what our construction schedule would be for putting the tower and the building in place down there. So it should be fine, because we should be able to start on the Silver Lake project, I believe, in May, April and May, to get that one. We've got to wait for the tower to tower, both of them have been ordered, and there's about a 10-week lead time, but they were ordered like 5 weeks ago, so those should be here. The buildings need to be ordered yet, but that's kind of the last piece of the puzzle. Bottom line, all that stuff is pretty well on track. We've also engaged with the Smith Group as our consultant to assist us in developing the master facilities plan for the Civic Center campus, as well as the Job Center campus. We've got a kickoff meeting next week with them to start that planning process for both of those campuses. So we can just kind of keep ahead of the game as far as what needs will be, we need to keep in mind for both of those campuses as we move forward. So that's pretty much everything we've got going on.
Bill?
For the downtown campus, you're mentioning some demo work and then rezoning and so forth. Is that something the city does administratively, the rezoning? Or does that go before the common council? How does that work out?
The full nine yards. It will have to go through the whole process, and that's one of the reasons it takes so long, going through the internal review process administratively, and then through the committees, and then through the full common council. So it'll be May, June at the latest that it goes through all those steps.
But the administration, city administration, is in favor of it and everything?
Yes, the county executive's had a number of meetings with the mayor, and he's fully supportive of it. So, because there are some things they need to tweak in their ordinance to accommodate it, and those tweaks are being developed already. So, yeah, it should be okay.
If there's nothing else, I have a motion to adjourn.
Adjourn.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.